This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
I'm a cardiologist, and I'm particularly interested in sort of cardiology is a great specialty. There are a lot of things we can do, but there are also a lot of things we can do that may not be helpful. And what I mean by be helpful is improve patient health. I think basically my job as a doctor is to help patients to do things that will improve their health, help them to feel better, or help them to live longer. So there are a lot of things out there. This was an old quote from Mark Twain. It's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. How many of you have ever seen these mobile vans from health fair? And I'm using health fair not because it's the only one, but it's an easily found example. I get stuff from Lifeline, so it looks like a lot of you have seen things from health fair. So health fair, as you probably know, does direct-to-consumer testing, and they do direct-to-consumer marketing for a package of cardiac tests. And they also are partnering with some academic medical centers with this mobile van. And so what I wanted to talk about is sort of cardiac screening, the sort of tests that are included in the health fair package or other packages of cardiac screening, and talk about what the risks and benefits are. And while I am going to concentrate on cardiac screening, the same principles that I talk about I think are applicable to any test. I mean, anytime you're considering getting a test, particularly one that you're seeking on your own, hasn't been recommended by your doctor, but even if it's been recommended by your doctor, I think you want to know sort of what are the risks and what are the benefits to you for that test. Certainly direct-to-consumer marketing skips the step of asking your doctor those questions, and so I think it's important to be sure to go back if you do get mailings at your home or see ads on TV to have a conversation with your doctor about what are the risks and benefits of a test for you, because you know, we have a very advanced technologic society, and there are a lot of things we can do that will give us information. But information by itself is not something you always need or is going to help you, and then actually there are times that it's harmful. So a test should have clear benefits, and again, when I say clear benefits, I mean it should lead to some improvement in your health, and some improvement in your health that you could not have achieved without having that test. So like we all know that good health is a lot related to our lifestyle, to eating a heart-healthy diet, to getting regular physical activity, to not smoking. And you don't need to have a test to know that and to know that that's going to be good for you. And there are downsides to screening tests. They expose you, first off, to a risk of further testing. You know, very commonly, something that we may or may not have been looking for is seen on a test, and then it leads to another test. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Overdiagnosis, we'll talk a little bit more about, but it's basically diagnosing something that you were probably better off not knowing about. Anxiety, and I'll talk more about that later on. There's cost when these are direct-to-consumer marketed. They're generally not paid for by your insurance. And some of these tests involve exposure to radiation, the CT scans, which I'll talk more about. So tests, of course, that don't have any evidence of benefit, we really, I think, should stop the conversation there and at least should be treated with a lot of caution. You know, with the Affordable Care Act came the idea of having what's called first dollar coverage, the idea that you don't have any co-payments for certain services that are considered to be preventive services. And the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force is the government body that has the most input into those services. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force looks at the evidence for screening tests, and screening means that you feel perfectly fine, but we're looking to see if you have a disease that you might want to know about early because you could somehow change the course of that disease. So it's an independent volunteer panel, and they make recommendations about screenings, most commonly cancer screenings, actually the Less is More section of JAMA Internal Medicine, the journal that I am editor for, and Adam and Ken are both editors for, as well as Deborah Grady, who you met last week. And we started that Less is More section after the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force in 2009 issued a recommendation that women between the ages of 40 to 50 would get more harm than benefit from mammography. And you might remember that got a very negative reception. And when Deborah and I were talking about it, we thought it was likely because people didn't understand or it wasn't well conveyed the message that it really was harmful. It wasn't that the government was trying to save money. It was that they're really, at the end of the test, you were probably going to be worse off, not better off, for having had it for women 40 to 50. So, but the Affordable Care Act says that any tests that the task force finds to be of high quality, evidence that the benefits outweigh the risks, has to be paid for by your insurance without any copayment or deductibles. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So getting back to health fair, they have a nationwide fleet of buses, and on those buses they offer a variety of different cardiac tests. And if you go to their website, and we did this in preparation for this talk, so it is up to date because they got a fair amount of publicity about a year ago because of this, they suggest that everyone over the age of 50 should get this screening. I will tell you there is absolutely no published data regarding any benefits or harms or costs of the screening, and it's not on their website about benefits and harms. But the tests are not recommended by the professional societies that are relevant to cardiology, like the American College of Cardiology, the American Society of Echocardiography, and the task force that I just mentioned to you. And this is just taken from their website. As you can see, they say they have tests that can identify various things, stroke, aneurysm, and they have different kinds of packages, what they call the basic 7-test package that is, again, out of pocket, and it includes these tests for $139, and then various other packages. This is an advanced screening package that has more tests and costs more money. This got a fair bit of attention because Public Citizen urged action to investigate their advertising because they were concerned that they were making health claims that were not substantiated. And the FDA said they would investigate the advertising, and it raised the question about who can make the best decision about screenings, because the company argued that they were offering patients a choice, or not patients, healthy people, a choice, and that people could make a choice about whether they wanted to have cardiac tests or not. But of course, that doesn't take into account what are the risks of those testing and what do you do with that information. You know, I would suggest that clinicians, certainly doctor-recommended tests, at least you're in a position to have a discussion with your doctor about the risks and benefits and get answers, and which is a more satisfactory situation. This is just some of the coverage about the health fair screenings. There was a lot of questioning about it. There were some articles written. This was from Kaiser Health News. And as I said, there were some hospitals that were partnering with health fair, I think with the idea that people with disease that needed to be treated in the hospital would be uncovered by these tests, and therefore having the hospital partner with them would allow them to take care of these patients. However, there was also concern that they were being used as a marketing tool and that it was really targeting people that weren't going to benefit from these screening tests. And in particular, this was a concern because these tests that were being offered, the ones I showed you on the list, and really most of those tests are not recommended tests. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force did review all of these tests. I'll go through those in a few minutes, and did not recommend them because there's no evidence that their benefits outweigh the harms. And in fact, how many are familiar with the Choosing Wisely campaign? So Choosing Wisely is a campaign that was started a few years ago from the American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation. The exciting part about it was that it was doctors sort of saying, these are things we should be thinking more about. So professional societies could sign up with the Choosing Wisely campaign, and then they would come up with a list of what was called the top 5, which would be the five tests that they've identified that if your doctor recommends it, you should sort of question whether you really need that test, because they're tests that in general there isn't evidence of benefit for, but tests that are commonly used today, which is really, you know, a new concept. And I think it's not that easy for most people to question their doctor. And so the idea that professional societies were coming up with these lists and suggesting patients question their doctor was really moving the ball forward in terms of getting us to think about harms and benefits of testing. So two of the five tests that are in that basic package that I showed you from HealthFair are actually identified by professional societies as being overused and tests that someone should question if you were suggested to have it. Some of the reasons being that there was a higher occurrence of false positives. There were a lot of problems. I mean, particularly in the mobile vans, there were concerns about quality control, who's doing the test, who's reading the test, whether there was any kind of quality standards for actually doing, because these tests are fairly technically difficult to do, the carotid ultrasound, for example. And so besides the fact that it's not clear that you would need or benefit from the test, it wasn't clear that you were actually getting accurate information or how you were going to follow up. And the other issue that was raised was that there were a lot of false positives. So kind of things that were seen that turned out not to be of any clinical significance are identified, which, as I said earlier, lead to additional testing. And the other thing, there's a funny phenomenon that's been noticed, that people that are concerned about their health and go for a test, for example, I have some colleagues who have gone for a coronary calcium scan, which is one of the tests I'll talk about in a few minutes, with the idea that if the score comes back as zero, meaning you didn't have coronary calcium, which may or may not mean that you're still at risk for heart disease, but they then feel, okay, they don't need to watch their diet, they don't need to exercise because their score was zero. And that's what this has meant, that it might prevent behavioral changes because it gives false reassurance. And it's also, as I said, the data is pretty sparse. There's no data that any of these testing improves outcomes. And, of course, the kind of people that sign up for these tests are often people that are already concerned about their health. And people that are concerned about their health, we know, tend to take better care of their health and therefore tend to do better in general than people that don't sign up for these kind of tests or clinical trials. But the other problem is that sometimes, for example, in that coronary calcium scan, there are people that are going to have a lot of calcium, and they may be very low risk for heart disease, but they have a lot of calcium. And that, I've had patients like this, I've seen them in clinic, where they've gone for this test for whatever reason, have really great health habits, very low risk, but they have calcium, and they know it because they've gotten the test and they get the picture back. And it really changes kind of their life and how they feel, because it's very disturbing. The image is very powerful, and now they have this image that they have calcium and they have to do something about it. And the truth is that you can't do anything about your coronary calcium. Once it's there. No matter what you do, it's not going to go away. And it's not necessarily, a bad thing, or lowering your calcium isn't going to change your cardiac risk, but it does create a lot of anxiety. And there have been studies of people that have undergone these kind of screenings that consistently show increased anxiety and increased doctor visits after the screenings, but they don't show better outcomes. So the results might be frightening, and there is evidence that the false positives cause continued distress, leading to reduced screenings in the future and reduced doctor visits. And there's also concerns because the risks and benefits, there's not an informed consent process where the risks and benefits are discussed. And as I said, there is a lack of quality control and not a great coordination of care, because your doctor didn't order these tests. And so then you need to find some way to follow up with someone. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendations, I think it's hard to see that, but this is one of the tests in that basic package here, carotid artery stenosis screening. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, it gives a letter grade to the tests. And the ones that are mandated to be covered by your insurance are ones that got grade A or B, meaning they have either very high quality or moderately high quality evidence of benefit. So the carotid artery stenosis, which is one of the tests in that basic package, it got a D rating, meaning not recommended because there isn't evidence. And then these are some of the other tests that were recommended there. The abdominal aortic aneurysm screening, it gets a grade B, but only if you're a man between the age of 65 and 75 with a long smoking history. It's not meant for everyone over 50, which is how it was advertised. And then the other tests were screening ECGs, stress tests, and AAA in women, none of which got recommendations of A or B, meaning that they should not be done. Same thing, again, coronary heart disease screening with electrocardiograms. For adults at low risk, got a D, and for adults at intermediate or high risk, got an I, meaning insufficient evidence. So there was not evidence of benefit, and so it's not recommended. And these are just some of the other testing, peripheral artery disease and ankle brachial index. So this is one of the examples. This is actually from Archives of Internal Medicine, which is JAMA Internal Medicine, what we used to be called. But this was a study actually from Korea where they were offering widespread screenings, cardiac screenings, such as the kind that are commonly advertised and done in health fair and other screenings. This was done with CCTA, which is cardiac computed tomography angiography. It's that non-invasive way that you could get a picture of your coronary arteries. And so they compared 1,000 patients from this health screening program. They were all healthy, asymptomatic, but they were undergoing the screening program with the idea that they were trying to prevent future heart attacks. The 1,000 patients who underwent the program, 1,000 controls. And of those 1,000 who had the cardiac CT, all felt healthy, 215 of them had a positive test, meaning they had something abnormal on the test, some calcium or some kind of narrowing in the artery. And as you might expect, of those 215, they had a lot more invasive testing. Some of them went on to revascularization, meaning they had an invasive procedure like a stent or bypass surgery, and they got more medications. Now, mind you, none of them had any symptoms, and we have no data suggesting revascularization in people that have no symptoms leads to any outcomes benefit. But, you know, we are a very image-driven culture, and once you see something, we have a tendency to make recommendations to act on it. In this study, they followed them up for 18 months and found that although the group that underwent this cardiac CTA got all this additional medications and testing, there was no difference in how well they did at the end of 18 months compared to the group that got no testing. And as I said, radiation, which I'm going to go on to talk about, they got a significant amount of radiation. It was 13 millisieverts, which is about 132 chest x-rays from that test. So, you know, we know that we're all getting a lot more radiation, and a lot of it is due to medical imaging. And in fact, CT scans have been identified as sort of the primary source of medical of radiation from medical imaging. And a lot of that is cardiac imaging. This was from a study that we published in the Archives of Internal Medicine in 2009. And I think if you are coming next week, Rebecca Smith-Beinman is going to be talking a lot more about radiation. She's a radiologist who studies radiation safety. So I'll just briefly mention that this study looked just at the radiation risk in the United States based on the CT scans that were done in 2007 alone. And just on that one year, there will be 30,000 excess cancers and 15,000 excess deaths related to the radiation from CT scans. And this was a study that was done out of the National Cancer Institute. Then, in addition to the increased cancer risk, there are, you know, the additional testing that gets done. And you know, when we see something on a CT scan, whether it was, as I said, what related to what we were looking for or not, there's a tendency to order additional testing and biopsies. And so there are additional biopsies, surgery, and of course anxiety about all of that. this was one example, actually, from a New York Times op-ed columnist who published a column about his own experience, which he called a scar and a silver lining. But he basically got an abdominal CT scan, I think, for some abdominal pain, but they incidentally saw something in his kidney. And for a while, he thought he had a tumor in his kidney. He actually had his kidney removed, and it turned out to be benign. And he wrote this saying, thank God it wasn't cancer. One could say if he'd never gone for the test, he'd still have a kidney and wouldn't have had this entire scare. And, you know, that's kind of a, and that's what we call an incidentaloma, an incidental finding that we see on a scan that then becomes something that gets worked up and often removed. This is Rebecca Smith-Byman's study, so I think I'll just say that she'll talk more about this, but she found a lot of variability in radiation from the exact same CT scan done at the same place or at different places on different days. In Texas, so the story behind this bill, this is all about that coronary calcium scan that I was mentioning, which I'm not a fan of. So there is a group in Texas called SHAPE. It's an acronym like Society for Heart Attack Prevention and Eradication. And they happen to own a lot of CT scanners, and they're very keen on the value of the CT scanners. And they went to the Texas legislature and offered free CT scans. And one of the Texas legislators who took them up on their offer had some coronary calcium and ended up with a revascularization and now believes that his life was saved because he had a coronary calcium scan. So he carried this bill for the Texas legislature that mandated coverage of coronary calcium scans for all men age 45 to 75 in Texas, all women age 55 to 75, and then people that were thought to be at increased risk for heart disease, like people who had diabetes or intermediate risk for other reasons. So Dr. Kira was a cardiologist in Texas who was very upset and concerned about this legislation, and he did sort of a cost-benefit analysis that we published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. He found that there would be almost 2.5 million Texans who would now be eligible to have these scans that their insurance companies would cover. It would cost about $500 million, or about $500 million, and that they would lead to 190 new cancers just based on the radiation dose, 190,000 incidental findings, and no known benefit. Yet this is still actually covered in law in Texas. You know, we're interested in looking at why do so many people want to have testing. I think we have an idea that, you know, tests are generally good things come out of them and that bad things can't happen as a result of tests. So this was a study by Tammy Hoffman and Crystal Marr that was published in the JAMA Internal Medicine just last year. And what they did was a systematic review of all of the studies and looked at what were patients expecting about benefits and harms and of the tests. So they talked to them about what were the benefits and harms, and then they looked at the actual benefits and harms according to the evidence for the test. And what they found was that the majority of participants overestimated the benefits of treatment and underestimated the harms of the test, and conclude that it's important for that our role as clinicians to educate patients better on what are benefits and what are harms. You know, I think we're, of course, always trying to help and do the right thing, but in some of that, we can be overly optimistic about the good that can come out of a test. And I have to say, I think that sometimes I think people have an idea that having a test like a coronary calcium scan will somehow guarantee that you won't have a heart attack. You know, that somehow if you had a low score, that means great, you won't. And unfortunately, that is not true. There are things you can do, of course, to reduce your risk of a heart attack, like exercise regularly and not smoke and eat a Mediterranean diet. But getting a coronary calcium scan is not one of the things that you can do that will lower your risk of a heart attack. So this was, I think, the New York Times incidental economist guy blogged about that. If patients only knew how often treatments can harm them, talking about the study, and just a little more detail, we found that two-thirds of the study, the patients overestimated the benefits of treatment, and two-thirds of the study, harms were the focus, patients underestimated the risks of harms. And again, just concluding that we need to have more information on harms and benefits. So this is the last about coronary calcium scans. There's been a lot of popular interest, and this was actually an Oprah show from a few years ago where Oprah, I think, got a coronary calcium scan. This is the and you can see the images are very nice. This is an image of the heart, and you can actually reconstruct the coronary arteries, the arteries that feed the heart muscle. And so this is Dr. Oz, and he says, what makes this technology so cool is you can actually go beyond calcium, which is just a symptom. And when I went to medical school, we were taught symptoms were things patients told you about, not coronary calcium that you found on an X-ray. But they were all very excited about the test. And the radiologist who read the test concluded that Gail had very sexy arteries. But, you know, I put this up, but we got a lot of calls at UCSF after that with people that wanted that test that Oprah had, because, you know, Oprah does have influence on people's medical decision-making. So to conclude, you might not surprise you because I've now mentioned it a few times, but my recommendations, instead of these testing, which there really is no evidence of any benefit for, and there are a lot of potential harms and they cost money, but even if they were free, I would not recommend them. The best strategies for prevention are to walk more, go to eat fruits and vegetables, you know, a sort of Mediterranean style diet. Reduce stress, which I think, you know, walking more, talking more to friends, doing things you enjoy, go to the spa, get a sauna, play with your children. All of those things, I think, are more effective ways to reduce your cardiac risk than getting any of these cardiac screening tests. So some of the recommendations going forward is that I think there should be full disclosure by these direct-to-consumer advertising, which is legal. We're U.S. and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising for medical treatments and testing. But that there should tell patients or tell the people they're mailing to that the Affordable Care Act limits out-of-pocket expense to only screenings that are rated A or B, which are not the ones that they're offering. Information on what is medically indicated, so what's recommended by the professional societies, and that I think that medical entities should not promote unproven screening tests. So it's helpful to check the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendation if you're thinking of any screening tests, and it's, I think, always a good idea to talk to your doctor, a primary care provider, usually to discuss the risks and benefits of any test before you're getting it. So thank you very much for your attention.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.